quiet here because it's the news according to me. Well, good. It is Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning. I have to be kind of quiet because I'm in a hotel here in Raleigh, Durham. Not the same room I was in yesterday. And I can hear people in the rooms next to me, and they're not being very loud. It's just the walls are paper thin here, so they can probably hear everything I'm saying right now. And just to avoid any kind of confusion, I've actually changed my microphone here. I've actually put the good microphone that doesn't have a pop filter on it, obviously, but I put the extremely high quality microphone that I travel with onto my computer so that I can talk a little bit quieter, and it doesn't, I don't have to talk as loud, doesn't have as much background. Well, it does pick up background noise, unfortunately. But it's, I'm attempting to try to make it as quiet as possible so that people can't necessarily hear what I'm talking about, because you never know. In this age of being extremely, how you say, polarized, we just don't know what might happen here. So it's just to avoid any conflict with the neighboring people here that are in this hotel. I have kind of a tickle in my throat this morning, and it's it's not going away. Because in my cup, I have a cup of chai, my last cup of chai, of the Big Train chai that I like the best. I have the last, well, I've got enough for about half a cup left in my little jar that I carry with me. But this is, personally, I've got this cup here that's got the, it's just a cup. This is a hotel cup. So I got, and the my backup cup today is quite exciting. I've got a cup of Chick-fil-A sweet tea, which is always pleasant. It does kind of help with my throat a little bit, actually. So it's going well. In the meantime, it is Tuesday, March 11th, and I believe it is 10 o'clock a.m. It's a screwy deal here. The clock that they have in the hotel, for some reason, did not change, and I tried to change the time back last night. Apparently, it's one of those automatic clocks that changes itself, depending on the time zone. It says it's 11 o'clock. It's actually 10 o'clock here. My computer, however, defaults back to a regular time for some reason, whatever it's doing. I'm going to try to change the time on it here now. It's an hour off. It says it's 9 o'clock. It's actually 10 o'clock, so I have to do something to that in order to, I don't know what it's doing now. But the make it impossible to do anything with this thing. Maybe that'll work. I can change it here a little bit. It says set time and date automatically. Why is it not? And it's in the Eastern time zone. Why is this not? That's just so bizarre. There, now it's correct. I don't know. I don't know. This technology is just way beyond my ability to contemplate. My backup cup is Chick-fil-A sweet tea, which I purchased yesterday. There's no Chick-fil-A close to me here. However, I am at least I have my chai. The couple things I want to talk about today. Not a huge breaking show. My wife has been sending me a plethora of little. She likes to, she's more of a reader than I am. She reads articles. I don't read as many articles. I don't find as many articles. She tends to be a reader, so she sends me articles, and I do have a chance to read them. I don't really have a chance to search for articles as much. I do more video, YouTube-type searches, website-type stuff. But there's been some really interesting news reports come across recently. And, of course, there's things being posted on social media quite a bit that have been just ridiculous. And one of the things, the way they twist things, she sent me this article about Donald Trump and how he's making protests illegal. And, of course, they assume that the protests that he's talking about are, they draw this conclusion. He didn't say this. But they draw the conclusion that if they protest about him, that they can be arrested because he's such a dictator. And of course, all the comments are, what really disturbed me the most is the comments that go right along with the article and say, oh, welcome to Adolf Trump or whatever. Trump's world. Now, Trump's a dictator. He's a fascist. He's all this. They're going to continue this rhetoric on and on and on for 4 years. That's all we're going to hear. And of course, after the, these people scare themselves. I'm going to have some audio tomorrow. I didn't have a chance to pick up some of this stuff, but there's just some audio about this guy talking about this on the, he kind of personifies the fear that, and where fear and paranoia drive people to literally be unhinged and off the rails. And this guy is up, and he's on national television, on CNN, MSNBC, have these people on all the time because they're a part of the problem. They drum up and they foment all of this this rhetoric that causes people to be in fear. Oh, they're fear of our losing our democracy, and we're going to have this dictator. He's going to be there forever. He's going to be, well, first of all, he's an old guy. He's not going to live forever. Secondly, what makes you think that anybody's going to go along with that? They have just drummed this guy into such a monster and calling him all kinds of names. And they vilify the idea of being a Christian nationalist. that's just another Nazi term, because the Nazis were Christians. They weren't Christians at all. Hitler did not like Christians. It's just the whole thing. And of course, there's these, folks, it is just nothing but self-righteousness from some of these people. That it's like self-righteousness on steroids, and the virtue signaling just goes on and on with what they're doing, what they're saying, and they just, anything that fits their little narrative that comes along, they just copy and paste it without verifying anything, and they move on to the next thing without any repercussions. They don't care if it was wrong or not. It's just next issue, next topic, next talking point, hyperbole, whatever it's going to be. What's the next thing that's going to keep me on this high of being the virtuous one in the middle of this, all this debauchery and all this terribleness from this dictator that I'm fighting against every day on my keyboard? Now, there's this one lady makes a speech, and I'll be talking about this tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, actually every day this week, I just realized I might have a show every day this week. Tomorrow and Thursday, I'll be in the studio as well as Friday, but Friday's going to be a little bit short of a show. But tomorrow and the next day, probably going to have a little bit more content in terms of some audio. This one lady is giving this speech, and she's a government worker, and they're protesting this idea, the audacity of someone telling me I have to tell them what I did last week at work. Who is this person asking me these questions? Well, it's called, he's the representative of the people, because he was appointed by the voted-in representative of the people. He was appointed by him to do the job of asking you, what is it you do every week? And if you don't respond, yeah, you'll be fired. Look, welcome to the real world, folks. If I work for an employer, and that employer asks me to report on everything I did the following week, and I don't report on that, or what I tell them is, well, I watched TV and I shined my shoes and then I ate some, cake and drank some coffee. Okay, well, that's not in your job description. What did you do for work? Well, I didn't do anything for work because, you just want to know what I did last week. That's what I did. So there you go. Now I've got to keep my job. No, it's not the way it works. In the private sector, in the real world that these people do not live in, they feel like they're entitled to this government job. They can't be fired because they're entitled to this job. How dare you ask me what I did last week? I came to work. Well, I didn't actually come to work. I logged in to work every day. Or most every day, just 3 days I did. The other 2 days I didn't, but it's because I took PTO. I was just having a stressful day, and I just couldn't bear to log in. Whatever it is, these people think, The audacity of someone to ask them what they did last week, and if you don't respond, well, I guarantee you, you work in the private sector and your boss, you work independently, your boss has no idea what you're doing. And in this case, I'm the boss. The people are the boss. The people want to know what you're doing. Is your job really necessary? Please describe to me exactly what you do here at this facility. What exactly is your job? Well, I manage TPS reports. Now this is the kind of thing that we the people need to know, because we need to cut this government crap out. The fat has got to go. We can't afford this anymore. We couldn't afford it to begin with. We've gotten ourselves into such a mess, and we're finding that billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars have been shuffled off into these NGOs that are channeled back to the Democrat machine. It's all starting to kind of come together now. They're starting to connect the dots, draw the lines, and figuring out where all the money has gone. Now, it's going to take more than... DOGE doesn't have any power to do anything with this information. They simply can only give it to Congress to do something with it, and they better do something with it, and they better do it before the midterms, because they may not have a chance to change any of this. About 20%, speaking of like USAID, the Association for International Development, U.S. Association for International Development. It's not USAID. There's about 10% of it that does something. Now, this is an organization, I think, its budget is $50 billion a year, whatever it is. $50 billion a year. A year. What they do with their money, 90% of it is all this waste and garbage stuff that doesn't matter to the United States at all. Our tax dollars are going to it. The leftists would argue about 10% of it is humanitarian aid and those kinds of things. Now, okay, if we're going to have humanitarian aid, okay, it's whatever. Of course, people are going to say I'm heartless because I don't think, oh, what are you doing? You don't want to help feed other people and do all... Yeah, I do. Actually, I do. Actually, because I do that. I don't depend on my government to do those things, and I actually depend more on my church to do those kinds of things, because that's really where it matters. It's the church, in my opinion, this is the church's fault for all this happening. The church has abdicated its responsibility. Look up the word abdicate. Has deferred its responsibilities, deferred its responsibility. Its mission to be the church, to take care of the community, to be the safety net in the community. And because of that, government has had to step in. Now, I don't know that it was government necessarily that stepped in first and the church turned around. I think it's been this slow moving, who knows what, you know, which came first, chicken or the egg. I think it's just kind of this thing that's kind of morphed together over time. But the church's responsibility is to be the safety net. And I think I said Malachi or Micah the other day. It's actually Malachi, I believe it was. Bring the tithes to the storehouse so that my house will be a place of where there's food, basically. There will be sustenance, there will be supply, there will be provision. When you give a tenth, your tithe, to the church, it's not there for building a new building. It's not there for building a new staff with higher paid pastors with all kinds of degrees and everything that they... It's not for that. I mean, somebody's got to pay for that stuff. But let's not lose track of the initial mission of the church. The mission of the church is to be the safety net for the community. Now, some churches will take in, you know, $10,000 a week, and then they'll give $1,000 a week to causes. But the other $9,000, because we need to give 10% of it back to... That's what they do. They take the tithe, run the church, run the building, run the business of the church with it, and they'll give a little bit out of their abundance there. But the rest of it's all about the machine. And oh, by the way, this happened to me in a church. I was a home group leader, and the story with the way, you know, there were, I wasn't in my home group, but there was other home groups that had some people who had some issues, had some financial problems, they were struggling, some things happened in their lives, and they needed help. And when they went to the church leadership said, well, that should be handled in your small group. Your small group can take care of those things. I don't pay a tithe to my small group. I pay a tithe to the church. That's where the safety net is. The safety net isn't, you know, of course, people can cough up extra money. There's nothing wrong with the small group helping out their fellow members. But that's usually what would happen. So they put the burden back on the people who've already paid their tithe, so that there would be a provision in the organization, and of course the organization ate it all up with paying for the show every week, for the weekly thing that brings all the numbers in. I guess I am kind of begrudging the mega church movement thing. Look, many hands make light work. It is one of those things where a large group of people can get a lot done, can get big projects done. And that there's good positive sides to this whole thing, but I think we've lost our perspective on what our mission is to the community. And I didn't mean to be preachy about this morning, but it is one of those things that sticks in my craw. And mostly because I've seen the insides. I've seen how the sausage is made. I've been there. I've seen it all in all the meetings, all the stuff that goes on. And it's, speaking of which, by the way, there was a lot of accountability in that particular organization I was in. Everybody had to talk about what they were going to do that week or that day, what their goals were, what they had accomplished in the last week, and what they were going to do in the next week. Because that's the way business is. That's the way you do. And that's a good practice, by the way. The government doesn't have those kinds of accountability issues. How dare you ask me what I did last week? I'm an employee here. I come to work, or, you know, virtually, whatever. What we're finding out now is that a lot of this USAID money, of course, when the protests come, all they talk about is the 10% of the good things that USAID does, which I still disagree with. Because I don't think the government should be doing those things. There could be maybe a safety net system within the government that provides for people when they don't. The whole thing of having this social structure within the government, in my opinion, is with the federal government at least, it seems to be a little bit top down, heavy handed. Now all of a sudden you owe the government something. And it's, if you don't pay it, you end up in jail. Now you end up in hardship, and now you're going to end up, and your family's going to end up, needing government assistance. It is a slippery slope, and it is a dangerous slope, in my opinion. And we need to push back on it. We need to fight back on this whole thing, especially when they start getting into just, you know, the money starts coming in, and it's just, they get drunken. They get drunk on spending. And they lose the value of the dollar. The money means nothing to them. The blood, sweat, and tears that people put into making that money, that they just take. Well, now you've made all this money. Now you owe us. Well, we just want to tax the millionaires and billionaires. That's such a hokey thing. That's a pipe dream. It's not. It doesn't exist. It's just. The left likes to talk about the oligarchy that's up. So those people that are sitting up there with Donald Trump, the ones who are sitting up there, there's like three or four richest, you know, some of the richest men in the country. Not the richest men, but some of the richest men in the country. Up there sitting with Donald Trump while he's making a speech. Well, I guarantee you, and I know this to be a fact, is that there are more oligarchs running and sitting behind the Democrat Party than there are in the Republican Party. And of course, there are plenty of them on the establishment Republican Party side of it. Don't get me wrong, but the Trump administration. And here's the deal: It doesn't bother me if rich people want to get involved in government. Doesn't bother me. What does bother me is when it's not transparent. Some of the people who are behind. I'm hearing something in my headphones, and I don't know if you can hear it on the recording or not. It's really kind of bothering me. I'm not sure where it's coming from. It's not my television. Maybe it's probably the television in the room next door that I'm hearing in my headphones. My microphone's probably picking it up. It's how thin these walls are. They probably turned their television on because they didn't want to hear me talking. But the, and of course, there's a jet flying over now. That makes a lot of noise as well. The issue that we have is that these oligarchs are behind the scenes, like the people like George Soros. You don't see them sitting up on the stage of the Democrats. But there's how much of their money goes to things like Act Blue and everything else that goes on out there. All the money that they shuffle around under the table is more concerning to me. Oh, I'm hearing. I know what I'm hearing now. It's okay. Let's. There we go. It was just me talking. There was an echo going on. I was picking up the monitor. Was picking up the background noise. Anyway. So this is what really probably bothers me the most is the lack of transparency on the left. And they, of course, then they craft all these lies and everything that they do. They've really shown themselves, and I don't know that the problem is that people on the left they don't really pay attention to what's going on. They make up for this with all the funding and the money that it is flowing. The people there's really just nothing but smoke and mirrors on the left. It's a very disengaged group of people who tend to be the radicals who tend to follow and post and do all kinds of things and think that they're the virtue signal, you know, people, the folks that are the virtuous ones, and they're making a difference on their keyboard. There's a very small minority of those people, and they don't really get involved in anything. They don't take the active stance of actually looking into any of the things that they're actually posting about. And one of the things that a couple of things my wife sent me that is pretty obvious they'll take this one article was very clear that this whole thing about Donald Trump was making it illegal for people to protest the government. That's how they twisted it into. When you look at actually what he said, and we'll get into this more tomorrow and the next day, because I want to look at some of the details of his actual post and how they twisted it and maligned it, because it's not what he said. And it wasn't totally out of context with what he was talking about. Not only does he make the statements that they end up taking apart and twisting, it's the overall context of the initial topic that he was even talking about. That's where the problem is. The problem is there's all these student protests, and there's this one particular protester right now that they're protesting now about this protester who got arrested. They're possibly going to deport him. He can legally be deported. His situation is such that he could be deported. Now, what has happened is he has participated in protest. He was a former graduate of Columbia, went on to a... No, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not a expert in information. I'm just this is the way I understand the story. I'm a guy with a bunch of opinions. That's all I'm sharing, and I'm not giving any legal advice. Don't depend on me for accuracy, but I am pretty accurate. Just so you know, the concern with this whole thing is that this guy is going to be deported. He supposedly has a pregnant girlfriend, I think, or possibly a wife. I think this is a weird situation here. He's got this might be another Ilhan Omar thing where she married her brother just to get him into the country. There's something weird going on there. It's just bizarre. And this guy came from Syria. He's here protesting on behalf of the Palestinians, saying that this is a genocide, of course, which is when you look at the definition of genocide and what they're doing, it's not a genocide. It's not what it is at all. But the what's crazy about the whole thing is that how they're turning this guy into a martyr, and they're saying that they're going to deport him. Well, you can't have someone from off campus, someone who's not a part of the school. If for instance, if I were paying for my child's education and I was paying for their college degree, and all of a sudden that college program was disrupted by protests, and they weren't having classes because of protests, and that come to find out that protest was being run by someone who wasn't even a student, currently a student at that university. Someone who just came back and decided to just start a protest, start to become politically active on the campus. Now, if this is a university, especially if it's a state-run or if they're receiving federal funds, that's my tax money. Now you're talking my tax money. Now helping out with the education of your child, which education, fine, it's whatever. Then we have a right to know what's going on, and if there's something going on that's not allowed by the leadership, or if it's illegal, or if it shouldn't be funding things like that, then you don't get any more funding. You don't get any more my tax money. If you don't want to tell me what you did last week, then you, guess what? Then guess what you're going to do next week? You're going to be standing in the unemployment line, getting a check, but you're not getting a job. You need to go out and find a job now, a real job, where you're going to find out how it is in the real world. Now, there's a whole lot of things happening with the stock market and with some other things. There's just a lot of things. The markets are very uncertain about the tariffs and the layoffs and the government changes and the cuts. A lot of uncertainty right now. This, folks, look, like I've said, this is going to be a correction. They're not taking a hatchet to the federal government. They're taking a scalpel. And it is invasive surgery that we're doing here. We're better off, in my opinion, pulling things back and then just putting back what we need to have there, rather than leaving everything there and assuming we're just going to eventually pull things out. That hasn't worked well at all. Everybody's talked about cuts, and nobody ever does anything. I can play you audio of Obama making speeches, Biden making speeches, Clinton making speeches, even George Bush making speeches about cutting government waste and cutting government spending, laying off people, all those things. And you'd think it was they were talking about supporting Trump. You're just within the last 20 years that this is all gone up. But all of a sudden now, because it's Trump, it's whatever he does, the opposite has got to be the right answer. Look where that got us. Under the Biden administration, basically he reversed everything that Donald Trump did. Only because it was Trump that did it. And it ruined our economy. It ruined our country. They could have very easily just kept some things in. It's kind of weird. I turned off my air conditioner and it just turned itself on. How did that happen? It's kind of odd. So anyway, getting back to this whole student protester thing, it's not illegal for students to protest. It's not illegal for people to protest. It's not illegal for people to protest the government. But you have to do it legally. You can't go out and stop people in the streets. I'm hearing sirens now that I'm sure you can hear them in the background. I think someone might be knocking on my door. Not sure what that's all about. I don't know. But I don't know why people are not coming. I'm not leaving here until about 4 o'clock this afternoon. So it's a very interesting, very troubling situation when they start to twist things around and say that they're going to start arresting people for protesting, illegal protests, or just protest the government. That's not what Trump is about. Not at all. One of the things that, of course, all these people that are protesting, most of them are wearing masks now, of course. They're wearing medical masks. This lady who got up and spoke, this government person who got up and spoke, there's nobody around her. There's nobody within 20 feet of her. And she's yelling and screaming, and she's talking about how terrible things are and how scary it is. She's wearing a mask. Now, first of all, this is a symbol now. It's become a symbol of the, I don't know what. I don't know what they're trying to say with the symbol. It's just become a symbol of some sort, that they're somehow in solidarity, that they're somehow they're the ones who care about people and they're protecting us all because they're wearing a mask. And I don't know why you'd wear a mask when you're that far away from everybody. Now, maybe it's an allergy thing. Maybe they suffer from allergies. I don't know. Maybe they just suffer from some kind of mental psychosis, like agoraphobia or something, and that's why they don't want to go into work. That's why they don't want to. That's why they think they deserve their job. That's why I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. One of the other things that happened just recently is the Black Lives Matter painting. I think it's in D.C. somewhere. It's a big street there. That's like a main thoroughfare, a very popular area, where they painted this great big yellow Black Lives Matter on the street, this one street. Well, apparently that's now being removed. The government was taking care of that and maintaining it. Our tax dollars were going to taking care of that and maintaining it. BLM is an organization, made a lot of money off of the whole George Floyd thing. Still does to this day. Well, it's going away. It's being painted over now, and it's either being painted over, removed, I guess, or destroyed, whatever. And it should be. It's just that's the kind of thing. Just like having the White House lit up with LGBTQ pride colors. That's not where we are here. Government shouldn't be playing a part in that. In fact, folks, I'm to the point where I don't believe that government should be involved in marriage, let alone all this other stuff that's going on. Government should just be there to govern the laws of society and see to it that our sovereignty and our rights are protected from internal and external enemies, period. Our freedom should be protected. This whole thing. It's just such a twisted view right now of what America is, who America is, what we should be as a nation. And I'd like to maybe spend some more time this year, maybe have one day a week or something where I just go over a whole thing of constitutional rights, basic foundational things that the founders talked about it with regard to individual sovereignty, individual rights, and how we're not, you know, there was never any intention to have group special group rights. It's very dangerous. It's a very slippery slope to go down, because then people are put, other people are, when you start giving people special rights, not just then you run into an issue, because now other people are lowered in their rights. People are given priority, and that should not be happening on any level, regardless of race, color, creed, whatever it is you are. By the way, there's only one race. It's a human race. There's ethnic backgrounds. There's cultural backgrounds. There's skin color backgrounds. Genetics, whatever you call it, but there's one race. It's a human race. There weren't several different kinds of humans that popped up all over the world that just out of nowhere. We didn't spring from the grass. So there you go, folks. That's what I got to say about that. It's an interesting aspect of some of the things I've noticed in culture lately is that there is a kind of a strange pattern that has developed in our culture. And it is one of a, and I guess I'm going to, this one, where am I trying to go with this? This younger people in their 20s now, early 20s, early to mid 20s, their attitude right now is starting to shift. You have the group. I think that they're being in fact, what seems to be, they're getting kind of disgusted by all of the negativity coming from the Democrats, Democrat Party, and this whole thing of protesting everything and doing everything the way they're doing. And it's what's been interesting to me is to see how they react and respond to the I think probably one of the best examples the other day was when Al Green was making his little tantrum in front of the president's speech, and how people responded and reacted to that, because it's very telling. And it kind of gives me some hope, because actually plenty of people out there who just are common sense folks that are kind of more leftist leaning, who look at those kinds of things. Here's a grown man who's acting like a child, and then claims, you know, they start singing "We Shall Overcome," and it starts becoming a racial issue now all of a sudden, because no, he didn't kick you out because of your race. He kicked you out because of the way you were acting. And by the way, Trump didn't kick him out. Speaker Johnson kicked him out because he was breaking the rules of the House. That's just, there are rules. You got to follow them. This is, oh, he's so brave for, you know, standing up to the president. Well, you can stand up to the president in other places. This is not the place to do that. But they now have activists representing us. We're supposed to have representatives, not activists. That's what we have. We have activists in leadership now. And it's become very difficult to deal with. But that's where we are at this point. So, folks, thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully have some more audio to help with at this point. But go from there. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Take care. See ya.